their books. So go visit the website. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook, but all you're going to hear is me raging about Trump now and for the foreseeable future. But to learn about my book, go to my website.
And it's Ayelet Waldman, A-Y-E-L-E-T, Waldman.
Yep.
Great. Well, thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. Thanks also to our board engineer, Rock Bergeron. And special thanks today to our intrepid audio editor, Sam Parrish. You can find an archived version of this show later today at KBOO.FM/Between the Covers. You've been listening to Between the Covers on KBOO. I'm S.W. Conser.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 27th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, taking place Thursdays through Sundays until March 4th at PCC Cascade in Portland. The Cascade Festival of African Films shows us Africa through the eyes of Africans, rather than a Vision of Africa package for Western viewers. The films celebrate Africa's achievements, expose its failures, and reveal possibilities for a hopeful future. The festival includes live music performances, plays and short films, documentary, and a Women's Filmmakers Week. Again, that's the 27th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, Thursday through Sundays until March 4th, at Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Room 104 at Portland Community College, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. More information and specific times for the screenings can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up. One
day. Good morning. Welcome to the March edition of Black Book Talk. I'm Patricia Welch, the library lady.
And I'm Emma Jackson Ford, bookwoman. Good morning.
Good morning. Our third member isn't with us today, O.B. Hill, but we're thinking of him, and that's the main thing. But the main thing also is that all of you are here. February is over. Black History Month has officially ended, but black literature is a year-round thing. It's an all-time thing. So we're going to share some of the books that we have enjoyed, not necessarily historical, but certainly by African-American authors, that we hope that you will take with you into this year. Emma, how you doing?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am just excited because I've been looking back over some of the books from the African-American read-in, which actually took place in February. It's an annual event held at the North Portland Library. This year, we just had a stellar lineup of readers, and the works that they shared, as always, were varied, surprising, and just wonderful reads for everybody. As a matter of fact, one that I've finished about a week ago, and I feel like I want to go back and read it again, is Piecing Me Together by Renee Watson. Anybody who has, who has listened to our show for a while knows that Renee is one of our favorites. She is one of Portland's favorites. She is absolutely hometown girl who has done well. Went to Jefferson. Now she's in New York. She travels around the world talking about her books. She's written books for children, for young adults. And though I'm not really a children's or young adult reader generally, I have so enjoyed all of her works, and particularly have enjoyed her newest one, Piecing Me Together. Maybe a little later, I'll read a little portion from it. I don't know how many books you have, Emma, how much you want to share, so I don't want to hog the time, but I just do want to say that, and actually Renee was here last month, now that I think about it, talking about this book, but I would just say, if you have a chance to see Renee in person, no matter where she is, one of the things I like about her is that she never forgets home. She always comes home. She does all kinds of trainings for teachers and book talks and things for youngsters, and just makes sure that she maintains that connection. And this book about a young woman who is basically trying to understand her life and piece it all together is just excellent. It's absolutely one of her best, and all of her books are great.
I agree. Totally agree. She has come to our school, Rosa Parks, and read and had an evening with the parents and the students. She is excellent. Several of her books, as a matter of fact, we have talked about on our show. Every one of them I have sent to my nieces, because every time she comes out with the book, I think, oh, yeah, all yes. kids could enjoy these.
Yes, for sure.
Right away, when I left the African American Read-In, I went home and ordered a couple of the books that I heard about there that I hadn't really thought about before. One was Who is Barack Obama? Mm-hmm. Because I have a third grade grandson, and I want him to know lots and lots about Barack Obama, but also because I thought this would be a good biography report for him this month. So I ordered it right away and gave it to my son so they could read together. I would say in reading level, a second grader could read it, but it would be a good book for anyone second through fifth to read for a parent to read with the child. Gave lots of background facts about the life of Barack Obama. Just gave kids a better view of his life outside of him being president. And I can't read you an excerpt from it because I gave it to my son and he took it home.
Now, I know what you mean. A number of the books that people read from are no longer on the shelves at any library, since I wanted to bring some in. But that's a good thing. That says to me that people came out, they heard, they wanted more. And so they took, they borrowed the books that they needed. Who read Who is Barack Obama? I know we had two young readers, Amaria Willard, who is a seventh grader, and,
a young man. I can't remember his name either. And I usually have the program, but I couldn't find my old program today.
You know something? His name is, that was Joseph West. And he was a fifth grader. I was so impressed with our young readers, their selection and their presentation. So, okay, he read that. Let's see. Intizar Abioto, who many of us know. I know her originally from her photographic work, The Black Portlanders. But Intizar does so much more. She is a performance artist, a dancer, an actress. She does more than I realize. I don't know how she finds time to do it all, but absolutely she does. And she was our next to the last reader. And I said, I knew Intizar would be fine, but I didn't know exactly what she was going to do or how she was going to do it. But she was reading from Gorilla My Love by Toni Cade Bambara. Toni Cade Bambara is an author who I think came to prominence probably in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately is no longer with us. And so I actually thought she might be someone who had been forgotten. But in fact, that's not the case. Anytime somebody from totally different generation, a millennial, which is what Intizar is, I believe, chose to read her and chose to bring this back. And she was fantastic. She was just hilarious, really, because she read a very funny passage. And I wish I could read that for you. But as Emma has said, hers wasn't available. This wasn't available either. But it made me go back and sort of look at her again and see what might be just on the shelf at my library. And I found a book called Those Bones Are Not My Child. And I'm just going to read from the back of the book because I've not read this book. I haven't had a chance. I'm trying to catch up with everything else from the read-in. But I'm fascinated with this one. on the book cover says, in a suspenseful novel of uncommon depth and intensity, Tony Cade Bumbar renders a harrowing portrait of a city under siege. Having elected its first black mayor in 1980, Atlanta projected an image of political progressiveness and prosperity. But between September 1979 and June 1981, more than 40 black children were kidnapped, sexually assaulted, and brutally murdered throughout the, quote, city too busy to hate. I had totally forgotten about that. And I don't even know how you can, but I had totally forgotten that as far back as the late 1970s, children were disappearing. They were disappearing from that city. And this story focuses on Zayla Spencer, who's a single mother who is holding down three jobs, and what happens when her teenage son, Sonny, comes up missing. What feels like the disaffection, the indifference of the police department, and the fact that she and her husband, her estranged husband, come together to embark on a search for their son. At any rate, given everything that's happening in the world today, this book is very timely. It was edited by Toni Morrison, the one, the only, who called this Bumbar's opus, a magnum opus. So the reviews are great. I'm going to read this book. And again, those of you who are not familiar with Toni Cade Bumbar, or maybe are but have forgotten her, her work is still very much alive, and I'm recommending Those Bones Are Not My Child, and this is an adult novel. Simply meaning not for children or teenagers.
Okay. Well, one of the things that for me comes out of the African American read-in every year is that it reminds me of authors I knew about or and maybe haven't been thinking about for a while. It causes me to look at their other works that I might not be familiar with. And then it causes me to think about books that I could make gifts of. I came home just to look up Toni Cade Bumbar because I had only read a long time ago The Salt Eaters. Right. So I came home and I looked up her life. I saw that it looked like she's on a Ghanaian stamp.
Oh, I did not know that.
And I looked up the one that was read there, Gorilla My Love. And I think I didn't get this from the read-in. Listening to the reading, I get so caught up in the reading that sometimes I go away not even knowing what they read about. But I looked it up and realized it was a short story about a young boy who was mentally challenged, and that's why she was championing her brother so much. I didn't get that from the reading. I somehow missed that. But what a great and exciting story. And realizing that she writes mostly in dialogue, mm-hmm. and that her dialogue is just wonderful.
It is. And I mean, Encesaw just did a great job of bringing it alive. And, you know, we had a pretty full lineup that day, about 14 people. So for her to be like next to the last, sometimes people are kind of slumped like, I'm enjoying this, but woo. But I mean, the audience was absolutely with her. People were sitting up. They were laughing. They were energized. So one, if you ever have a chance to hear Encesaw speak or, you know, do a dramatic reading or something, definitely do it. But it just also says what happens when you can bring good literature to life. And I'm excited to say, because I thought that ill health had befallen him, our third member, Mr. O.B. Hill, has joined us. Welcome.
Hello.
Great.
Hey. Em and I were just sort of reminiscing about this year's African-American read-in and some of the authors that, you know, we enjoyed, or some of the readings we enjoyed. And I mentioned Toni Cade Bumbar. And Emma, you mentioned...
I wanted to say about Encesaw before we went any further. Just one more thing. I know her from Facebook. She publishes a photo a day of people that she meets. Mm-hmm. So she meets somebody new, she takes a picture, and she captions it. And I thought, whoa, that's ambitious, even to meet a new person every day.
We are hoping to have an exhibit of her work in the second floor meeting room of the North Portland Library, because she just does beautiful photographs, and we have a beautiful photographic exhibit up now, the Portland Family Album exhibit that I think was originally shown like about 20 years ago. But we have like, I don't know, over 150 photographs that folks just pulled from their family album. And we're so fortunate to have them and fortunate to have them on display now. But, you know, and folks are certainly welcome to come over to North Portland, go up to the meeting room and see if it's somebody from your family there. But also it's going to be exciting to see what someone who's doing, these are black and white current ones, who's doing exciting things in color. It's always good to have an artistic eye turned on the community and just bringing it to life and also preserving our story, preserving our history. But OB, you know, you don't have to talk. I want to just make sure we are not just going to talk about things from the read-in. So OB, you know, things you want to share.
Well, the read-in is a very special event. I really congratulate all the people who contribute to that. Yesterday, I stumbled across an article, Ralph Ellison. It was his birthday. He was born on this day in 1914 in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And I'll just read a little bit. Ralph Ellison's desire to write was in part due to his direct friendship with Richard Wright. Ellison's critical and artistic reputation rests largely on a single masterpiece, Invisible Man. This book I've read, and I enjoy reading. I've reread it several times. And then this article goes on to say, it has received acclaim by nearly all who have read it. And in 1952, Invisible Man was given the National Book Award for Fiction as a recipient of the 1995 Prix de Rome Award, awarded to him by the American Academy of Letters. Ellison was able to live and write in Italy for a time. And he was later elected to the National Institute of Art and Letters and the African Academy of Arts and Letters. And it goes on to say that Ellison also achieved acclaim as an essayist, largely due to his two books, Shadow and Act in 1964, and Going to the Territory in 1986 and 1987. Among his numerous awards are the Medal of Freedom from President Nixon in 1969, Langston Hughes Medallion in 1984, and the National Medal of Arts presented by President Reagan. And Ellison's Invisible Man is considered by many to be one of the three best novels ever written by African Americans. The other two are Richard Wright's Native Son and Jean Toomer's Cain. That's something I had to say, because we can't allow a day go by of a man of that stature in writing to be missed.
Absolutely right. I remember reading that when I was in college, and it stands the test of time.
It does stand the test of time. I had to read it all over again when my son was in high school reading it. So, yeah, and I thought again, well, it's just as wonderful now as it was when I was a girl. Mm-hmm. I did want to say about Ralph Ellison that he also wrote the book Juneteenth.
Right.
And that John Callahan, who was a professor at Lewis and Clark, he still might be, pulled together the notes after he died. The wife commissioned him, the publishing company and the wife, the widow, commissioned him, and he pulled the notes together, and I guess, I don't think that's called ghostwriting, but subwrote the book Juneteenth, which was wonderful, and there was a big presentation right here in Portland about it.
Yes, it's like there's another book, but I could not remember the name. Thank you. Okay, want to move on to another book?
Oh, you were asking what we had talked about before OB came in. The Who Was Barack Obama book was the other book we talked about.
Right. I'm just saying, do you want to move? There's another book that I know we both like, so I want to give you the opportunity to talk about it if you want to.
Because you were so enthusiastic when we talked about it. the long division book.
Yes.
I thought I would let her talk about it because this is a wonderful book.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, you can chime in. The book is called Long Division, and it was read by Arias Johnson, Director of Civil Rights for the Oregon Attorney General. See, we get some great readers. But, oh, my gosh, this book... And I'm not finished with it. I'm reading the book. I'm listening to it in the car. And I think the reason why I haven't finished it is I'm just enjoying it so much that I don't want it to end. But it's the story of Satoyin, better known as City Colson. When we meet him, he is on this televised contest. It's not, instead of the national spelling bee, you have to use a word in a dynamic sentence. But what he realizes is there are certain words that are chosen for the black candidates, the black students, and City just goes off. You know, like everybody is watching him and his community in the state are watching and they want him to bring home the prize and everything. This is his moment to make the race proud. This little boy just goes off after he finishes brushing the curls out of his head. But what I love about City is that, oh, this is just a little, he's a teenager. He's really a very smart young man. He is very compassionate. There's a little character in the story, a little girl, and he is so kind to her. He's a good kid, but he's a kid and he can be a total jerk. And sometimes he has these absolutely wonderful insights into life. And then other times he's just a duh. But, you know, he's like 14 years old. He is in love with his hair. He goes everywhere with his brush, and he's just brushing the waves. He is into himself. He is hilarious. And I am so glad that I'm listening to this as well as reading it. And this is just one character. We will not even get into his uncle. Oh, of course, he goes viral. His little blowout goes viral. And the uncle is like, you know, we could make a lot of money. Somebody's going to approach you. I think somebody did. And they'll want to do a reality show. So Uncle buys all these cell phones, not a camera, but all these cell phones. And he's got all these cell phones ready. And he's shooting City. And he's going, you know, you don't understand this. You know, you can't just go around doing it. People who are watching this show, well, what a little drama. Oh, my gosh. Everybody in there is hilarious, but okay, there's the story of City, but then City comes upon this book called Long Division. Yep, same as the title of the book, but there's no author, and there are strange things happening when he reads the book, because he's seeing characters with his name and his friend's name. I'm not going to tell you anymore. It's a mystery. It's a coming-of-age story. This is just a great book, and the author's name is Kiese Layman, that's K-I-E-S-E, last name is L-A-Y-M-O-N, title Long Division. I cannot even tell you anymore, but our reader at the read-in did the chapter where he talked about his infatuation with the love of his life, Shalaya, oh my heavens, Shalaya Crump. And after hearing this reader talk about Shalaya Crump, I mean, everybody, women were going, I'm going to get that book. I want to read that book. I'm not going to say anymore because I could go on for the last minutes of the show, but I won't. But
just that one more thing, that Shalaya Crump's big thing was when she would talk, she would often say dot, dot, dot.
Yes.
The ellipses. She wouldn't finish what she was saying. She'd just do that, which I thought was hilarious, and I would have bought the book for that alone.
Yeah, all the characters have these quirks. They have these wonderful quirks, but, oh, it is a great book. And I mean, I will always be grateful to this reading. If it was just for that book, not even all the other wonderfuls, but that book was just a revelation.
Well, one of the other books they talked about, the man from the barbershop, whose name I don't remember, talked about Nathan McCall's first book, Make Me Wanna Holla.
Brother Oba, you know something? What, no, I don't. I think that was somebody else. He did. He did the Miseducation.
Oh, you're
of
right.
The
of
Negro,
Woodson.
Right?
Oh, of the Negro by Carter Woodson.
Right.
Bill, yeah, you're right. It wasn't him.
Bill Cernansky, who was an improvisation artist, did Make Me Want to Holler.
Okay.
But go on. It's the book. Oh, that's the main thing.
It made me come home because I think we read it in book club. I know we read Them in book club, which is, yeah, Nathan McCall's second book. And it made me curious as to whether he had written other books. turns out he's written two more books, and all, of course, are about what's happening with African Americans in neighborhoods. So, as I said, the reading always makes me more curious about the authors or about books, so I often go back and get them. I remember O.B. being pretty enthusiastic about Make Me Wanna Holla.
Oh, yes. That is a great, great book. Let me say one thing on this particular day in history. In 1807, Congress outlawed the importation of slaves into the jurisdiction of the United States. In 1867, Congress chartered Howard University in Washington, D.C., and the first Reconstruction Act was passed, dividing the South into five military districts in 1867.
Whenever I hear about Reconstruction, I think about how Africa was partitioned. And I think it was the Bandung Conference and how European powers just went in and just divided. Just said, okay, you take this, Belgium, you take this, you take that. And you know, seeing it on that level, and I don't know, whenever I hear about Reconstruction, I was just like, gosh, you know, it does not end. It's everywhere. Just a little aside. Anything else? Obi, I'm sure one of our readers, wonderful brother Oba, who filled in for another reader who became ill. So he was sitting in the barbershop chair, and Paul Knowles Jr., who was going to be one of our readers and could not even talk, said, you should tell him. And I told him, and he just stepped up. He was great. But hey, I know you've read that book. I know you've read The Miseducation of the Negro. And considering that we're just coming out of Black History Month, which was started by Carter G. Woodson.
Well, Carter G. Woodson, Miseducation of the Negro, he founded Negro History Week.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, the first month-long celebration, and I've said this before, that happened in the world, happened at Portland State University in 1970, founded by Black students here in Portland at Portland State, of which I was one.
I was waiting.
And we had what we call Black Month, now celebrated nationwide and worldwide as Black History Week. But Carter G. Woodson is the father of Black History and Black History Month now, as we call it. His book, The Miseducation of the Negro, is legendary. And it goes without saying, anyone who wants to read anything about Black book talk or any other topics need to get a copy and read this book.
Absolutely. I don't have anything, any other particular book I want to talk about. I do want to mention that there's some things that are happening, started last month and are continuing. I heard the advertisement for the Cascade Festival of African American Films, the PSA, before we even started. So just to reinforce, March 4th, it's like 2 days from now, but there are still films to be seen. So do go online, get your schedule. At noon, there's The Price of Love. 2 p.m. As I Open My Eyes, and 7 p.m. They Will Have to Kill Us. But I also want to mention, maybe I should have mentioned this first, that the artist who is responsible for the Kin Killin' Kin exhibit, which speaks to youth crime, Black-on-Black crime, and the exhibit is opening, it is open at IFCC. But the artist James Pate will be at the North Portland Library today at 6 o'clock. So we hope that we'll join us then. I'm hearing the music from Glory, and I think that's a subtle hint that we should wrap up. That was very nicely done. Our engineer Rock is great. Well, I guess this is the end of Black Book Talk for March. Glory was one of the lyrics that was shared at the African American Reader. That's why we chose that. This is Patricia Welch, the slightly giddy library lady, saying good reading to you. Hope to see you again or hear talk to you again in April.
We'll be here with Mirror Image Books, and I will see you at the movies.
And with Jackson Ford, Bookwoman, see you next month.
No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, glory.
This KBOO program was made possible in part
of the Voice.
Thank you very much.
Wait, are you
by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Edgefield
Concerts. I just need to be left alone right now.
Let's start that over again. This program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Edgefield Concerts, announcing the show with Ziggy Marley this June. About that. Let's try that one more time. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and this program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Edgefield Concerts, announcing a show with Ziggy Marley this June. Also presenting shows with Huey Lewis, Ryan Adams, Diana Krall, and more this summer. Ziggy Marley tickets on sale Friday at edgefieldconcerts.com. It's time now for World Beat Connection. I'm sitting in this week. My name's Mike, sitting in for DJ Charlie, who I'm almost certain will be here again in 2 weeks. World Beat Connection alternates with Shocks of Sheba.